First item we have today, we're going to have a public hearing on House Bill 2049. I'll ask counsel to give us a brief rundown on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2049 comes to you from the Oregon State Police and creates a process and procedure for local government to request assistance from other local governments during an emergency. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill has a prior referral to Ways and Means Committee. However, we did receive from legislative fiscal today that it has minimal fiscal impact. So it's probably an appropriate bill at full committee when it makes it to full committee, assuming it makes it to full committee, that we request the Speaker to remove the prior referral to Ways and Means Committee.
Okay, thank you. We have three people signed up to speak on it. Ken Murray, Ken Armstrong, and Tom O'Connor could go ahead and come on up. And just please identify yourself for the record when you're talking. Just pick among yourself who wants to go.
I'll dive in first. For the record, my name is Ken Murphy. I'm the Director of Oregon Emergency Management. And the legislation, House Bill 2049, we're reviewing today is a result of, obviously, the last couple years as the country has taken on new challenges in dealing with terrorism and how we deal with emergencies in general. Back in 2001, the state of Oregon did sign on to the Emergency Management Assistance Compact for the nation, where, very similar to this bill, at the state level, we can share resources, personnel, and assets across state lines. And this bill was to take into account intrastate mutual aid, not necessarily 100% targeted at public safety agencies, but literally all agencies across the spectrum, to try and determine if a jurisdiction may need something, that we can get it from another jurisdiction in Oregon. And again, the premise of working out the details ahead of time to support this. The legislation also provides an opt-out clause, and it was not intended to affect any current mutual aid agreements that are in place. And it can also be used once, if passed and the rules are written, to standardize, if needed, mutual aid agreements to make sure that they do account for all things in it. And we've also learned, and I think everybody has seen, as we go through our society today, the demands of public safety agencies and other agencies to respond to disasters do require a lot of people, resources, and assets. So this bill is intended to try and accomplish that so we can get what people and resources to the event as quick as possible to save lives and protect property. And pending any questions, that's all I have.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Murphy, this bill, as presented to us, requires reimbursement of the costs by the requesting jurisdiction of the responding jurisdiction. Is that a change from what happens now? What happens now if a request is made of another jurisdiction to provide emergency assistance?
Chair Barker, Representative McPherson, it depends on the actual mutual aid agreements that are written, but in most cases the requesting jurisdiction would end up ultimately paying for the people or assets from the providing jurisdiction. But it literally depends on what agreements they have in place right now.
Follow up. So there's no statutory obligation. What this would do is it would create a statutory obligation upon request to then to provide reimbursement. Is that the sort of key change?
Chair Barker, Representative McPherson, we'd either be in statute or we can do it by administrative rules to try and place into effect where the requesting jurisdiction would end up being responsible financially.
Thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
What about during a catastrophic event? You know, a lot of those have been talked about. You saw what happened in California, the tsunami. We almost had the Biscuit Fire, the 500,000 acres. It could have burned all the way to burn Brookings Harbor completely to the ocean. Those entities, counties and cities, would not ever, after that type of event, have the infrastructure and the business and the tax base left to meet that obligation. Is there anything in there that's going to account for that type of a catastrophic event?
Chair Barker, and I'm not sure of your name, sir.
Representative Krieger.
Representative Krieger. In these cases, this legislation does propose that these type of requests are done based upon a declaration of an emergency. And if it becomes of catastrophic of nature and we do meet the thresholds for the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Department of Homeland Security, then funding is available to a certain extent for those jurisdictions to reimburse them for their actions.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Ken Armstrong representing the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association, Oregon Volunteer Firefighters, and Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. We're here generally in support of the concept that's embodied in 2049. I think it's pretty clear from the questions that the committee has, and those are excellent questions. They're some of the same questions that we have, to make sure that as we put in place a statewide mutual aid program for these declared emergencies, that we not run afoul with the existing mutual aid agreements that are out there. We have a fairly sophisticated system of mutual aid agreements between all types of jurisdictions in emergency response, the National Incident Management System. We want to make sure that things stay consistent with that. We want to make sure, similar to the questions that Representative McPherson had, on reimbursement, that we don't have a problem with that sort of a scenario. I don't think that we will. We've met with Oregon State Police and with Council on this issue, and our preference at this stage, our request, I guess, to the committee would be that perhaps we can pull this back, spend a little bit of time work grouping it to make sure that we don't have any unintended consequences. I think the concept is good, but we don't want to have unintended consequences. I've learned, for example, that the schools have some concerns, the School Boards Association, we've got, you know, the sheriffs. There's a lot of interest groups that probably need to sit at the table to make sure we don't have a problem. And as a final point, I think one of the preferences might be an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out. That's going to have some administrative challenges, needless to say, for OEM, but that's one of the things that we might want to consider. So happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Armstrong, one of the things that caught my eye is that the definition of local government is very broad, as it picks up virtually any function of that a government organization might perform. I would read it as broad enough, for example, that a school district would be obligated to respond, obviously subject to the reimbursement. And so the question I would raise is, would there be a logical sort of narrowing of this to jurisdictions that or agencies that naturally provide emergency services that would be appropriate, or do you think it makes sense to leave it as broad as it is here, where virtually any agency or jurisdiction upon request would be obliged then to deliver service?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, good question. I think that's one of the things that needs to be vetted in a work group environment because, you know, depending upon the extent and the magnitude of the emergency, you may want to have this broad stew of local governments involved with this. Other cases where you just have a relatively simple fire situation where you've got Kaiser and Salem responding to one another, that's an entirely different deal. The statute that's referred to here, of course, is that broad definition. I think that's one of the things we need to kick around, make sure that we are encompassing the right jurisdictions, the right entities, and not unnecessarily bring in those that really don't have much of a role here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Armstrong, I talked to one of the Salem firefighter people, Bob Livingston. He was telling me that they pretty much have maybe as many as five a day mutual aids in this area with the fire service, and they were concerned about their reporting requirements as well.
So Mr. Chair, one of the things that Mr. Murphy and I were discussing this morning is that this bill really is just talking about those declared emergencies, not your situations where you have Kaiser providing simple mutual aid to the city of Salem. But that's initially one of the questions that we had, wanted to make sure that we didn't unnecessarily have that become a problem area.
Okay, any further questions from the committee? Okay, Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name, for the record, is Tom O'Connor. I'm director of Oregon Municipal Electric Utilities Association. We represent the municipally owned, city-owned electric utilities here in Oregon. I'm here to support the suggestion that Ken Armstrong and the firefighter folks have made for a work group to work through some of the details on this. Electric utilities have always had mutual aid agreements of one form or another, some formal, some informal. About 6 years ago, we worked with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, our national groups, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association and American Public Power Association, sat down with FEMA, and we developed a standardized mutual aid agreement that would be in place so that we could respond to requests for help in storms, and that our folks would be reimbursed in those circumstances. FEMA said, what FEMA had told us was that they wanted a mutual aid agreement written in place in order to be ahead of time, in order to be so that we would be eligible for reimbursement. And so we worked out a standardized form with FEMA. We have those in place with every electric utility, public and private, in the state of Oregon. Again, our concern is that we mesh these together and not create a conflict. I am interested in working on the opt-out, opt-in approach a little bit. I would want to make sure that by opting out, if that was the kind of structure that we created, that we wouldn't run afoul again of FEMA and they would say, well, you opted out of this statewide program and therefore we're not going to reimburse you when the time came. So that's something I think we need to work on. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Okay. Well, I just want to say I think it's a good idea to get started on this so we have something down before the bloom goes up, so to speak. But obviously there's some things, as usually happens, when you focus on something, there's little eye that come in from the side that you hadn't quite thought about, and this is a good time to hopefully be able to get a work committee back and get those things taken care of and come bring it back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any other testimony on this bill?
Okay, close the public hearing on House Bill 2049 and open a public hearing, possible work session on 2051.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2051 comes to you from the Oregon Youth Authority and clarifies that the Oregon Youth Authority, not the Department of Human Resources, has the responsibility of certifying youth offender foster homes.
Okay, thank you. And anybody who wants to testify, Mr. Karen Andahl? Is there anybody else who would like to testify? Thank you. Welcome. To identify yourself for the record, please.
Chair Barker and members of the committee, my name is Karen Andahl. I'm with the Oregon Youth Authority here in Salem, Oregon, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2051, which is a bill introduced by the Oregon Youth Authority. Basically, this bill clarifies current statutes regarding the placement of youth in those youth offender foster homes who are certified by the Oregon Youth Authority. This bill clarifies the fact or the intent that these foster homes would be utilized specifically for the placement of youth offenders who are in the legal custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. The current statute is not specifically clear on that issue. The second piece that this bill does is to amend, and I need to beg your pardon, the testimony has some incorrect language that I did provide to the committee. It mentions the repeal of 420-835, and actually this bill does amend statute ORS 420-825, which is in the bill, to clarify that the Department of Human Services does not have placement authority over the youth offenders in the Oregon Youth Authority custody. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there an anticipated fiscal impact on this bill? We didn't have a record of that.
Chair Barker, no, there is not.
Okay. Any other questions? Ready?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I do have a question. It's actually on the second page here. It describes the certificate as effective for 1 year. Is that going to be staggering type dates, or is that all just one special time of the year for your...
Chair Barker and Representative Olson, the certification actually depends on and is geared toward the time that the actual foster home is certified, so it will be staggering depending on the individual home.
Are there any further questions? Do I have a motion to...
Need to move into work session.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. We need to move into work session. Do I have a motion on the bill?
Yeah, I have a motion to make a motion to accept the bill as presented.
To move to full committee.
Okay.
Move to pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move the bill to full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any comments? Call the roll, please.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Yes.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Okay, so we'll do. Is there any further business this morning?
Carry it. Who's going
to
carry
it? We'll bring it to the full committee. Yeah. We need to carry it to the full committee?
Yeah. Need to carry it.
Okay. Representative Thatcher, we're going to take this, carry this to the full committee. Representative Thatcher will be a carrier. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other business coming before the committee this morning? No further business, we'll be adjourned. Good job.